So you've come here for the truth. Well, we've got the truth and nothing but the truth. Here are your hosts, Robert A. Bianchi and David J. Bruno.
Welcome to WM2R Radio's Nothing But the Truth with Bob Bianchi and Dave Bruno, your host, two lawyers from New Jersey. Dave, it is a show about mindset. Thank God it is not about the law. We do some legal topics, but like today, it's about mindset, and we couldn't have a better guest. I want to introduce her, and I know this is right up your... I read her bio, and I'm like, oh, Bruno's going to love this.
Well, who do you think got Lauren on, Bianchi?
Dave, Bruno did.
Lauren Baptiste is enhancing today's work culture with a simple strategy, prioritizing well-being for professionals that climb the corporate ladder. She is a life coach, and her mission is to help women level up at work and home. She brings 13 years of experience in the corporate culture and workplace burnout. She is an international speaker on topics like burnout, mindfulness, women leadership, and has consulted for a wide range of clients, including IBM, TD Securities, NFL, Warner Music, Estee Lauder. I mean, I could go here. I could go on and on for these companies that you consult with.
Yeah,
it is a great pleasure to have you on the show. And just another connection, Bob, a LinkedIn connection. I am screaming from the rooftops about LinkedIn and the ability to connect with like-minded professionals. And that is how we connected on the LinkedIn platform. And that's the only reason why she is here today on Nothing But the Truth.
Well, that's great, because Lauren, please tell us about a little bio about yourself, about your company. And I am definitely interested in learning how to, quote, go from being exhausted to energetic, cynical to optimistic, and ineffective to empowered. Have at it.
All right, we can do this in a few segments, right? Let's go.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys. My name is Lauren Baptiste. My firm is Akaloa Wellness. For me, I worked in the profession of accounting for over 13 years, working alongside some of the smartest accountants, attorneys, and consultants in the profession. And so for me, while I was getting all the high accolades and getting all the complex projects and getting all of the money and title that I would hope for, internally I was crumbling. What actually happened was I ended up in an emergency room from workplace burnout, and I call that my decided rock bottom. I chose in that moment to say, hey, that something's got to give, because things aren't going well at this rate. And so from that moment, I started to shift. I realized I had to get myself out of this burnout. And then as I started climbing out of that dark hole, I realized that there were others, so many others, and what they were experiencing looked different than mine. But when I saw that 75 to 90% of all professionals are 75% of all visits to the doctor are for stress-related health concerns, I realized that something had to change. So 7 years ago, I started my business, and I haven't looked back.
Yeah, listen, Lauren, I think that story is amazing, and I think the vulnerability of taking what was your decided, I like that, rock bottom, and then turning that into something where you're helping other people is amazing. So when I started my career, there was no such thing as Google, Yahoo, computers, internet, social media, or any places to get access. And so I remember very clearly and distinctly, and I've spoken about this very honestly, that I wound up developing an anxiety disorder trying cases. And as a trial lawyer, that's not a good thing, or a panic disorder, whatever you want to call it. I didn't know what it was. There was no place to go. There was no internet. And if you said something to somebody, they looked at you like you very clearly and decidedly that you're broken, that there's something not right with you. And all I really needed was somebody to say, hey, this is normal, it's natural, it's okay. But you can also make the choice to do something different, and that's not failure. And I think that is a problematic message. So what do you say to those people? I mean, I think that there's a part, and it's about balance, I guess, right? Where I fought through it, and I'm so grateful that I did, because it could have destroyed the dream of my career. But I definitely get when some people have to say, enough is enough, and I need to know when I need to say stop and move on. Where is that?
It's a hard line to draw, because so many of us are high functioning, right? We think, I can handle it. I can just one more email, just one more meeting, just one more client. And it's almost like a train running right off the cliff. So you have to be really mindful. We can be high functioning, but we need to also know how to stop. We need to know how to take a break. We need to know that because we take a break, it actually makes us more productive and more efficient in the long run. So a lot of this is learning how to work better, but also the part that's the part they want, but the part they really need is to learn how to take breaks and do it effectively. It's not just saying, okay, let's throw our hands in the air and give up, you know, forget all of this. It's like, no, in order, just like any athlete, think about an Olympian, they work out really hard and they rest really hard. And we need to be more mindful of how we see ourselves in the profession and the sustainability of that.
When you got to that place where you're in the ER, you're in the hospital, I mean, did you see the red flags before that? Did you just disregard them? I mean, how did ultimately you end up then and there?
That's a great question. I would say in the moment, I absolutely disregarded them. I almost saw them as normal. I mean, in the profession, I think a lot of us can see it as death by a thousand cuts, right? Just a couple of late nights turns into, I always work after, you know, after dinner, I'm always logging in. You know, COVID had an effect with a lot of professionals. For me, I burned out before COVID happened, but a lot of us, it's like, okay, well, let me just sneak over to my computer really quick. And all of a sudden it becomes more and more. So I absolutely had smoke before the fire. Most of us do, but we need to be more aware of taking action sooner. So that's where, even for me in my situation, I say that's actually too late. We need to be aware of the smoke before the fire so that we can not let it get to that point where it's debilitating our confidence, our well-being, our mindset, our health, and we can do something better.
What are the warning signs?
The warning signs can vary from person to person. And that's where we have to, if it were just so straightforward, I think we would be more cognizant of it. According to the World Health Organization, they talk about burnout in three different ways. They talk about it as exhaustion, physical and mental. They talk about it as cynicism and detachment, and they also talk about it as an ineffectiveness at work. So we can see, okay, I'm not as productive as I used to be. Maybe I'm a little more negative, but think about like how the jokes are in the profession. It's like we're always throwing out like negative sarcasm to kind of get by day to day. So we have to notice, is it just a joke, or is it when we say things like, ha ha ha, wouldn't it be funny if I got hit by a car on the walk home from lunch with a colleague, that it starts to be a little beyond where that cynicism or that sarcasm turns into cynicism. And we have to be really careful of that. Other warning signs physically can look like anything. Like I mentioned, 75 to 90% of all visits to the doctor for stress-related health concerns. So that could mean anything from as little as like twitching of the eye to infertility, to eye impairment, to acne all over your body, to, you know, it could go on and on and on. So heart palpitations. I've even had someone who came to me with a brain aneurysm on the other side of their burnout. So that's why it's so hard to say it's always this. But if we can be more aware of the exhaustion, the cynicism, and the ineffectiveness, that's the smoke before it turns into full-blown fire.
Now, you talked about what to be aware of in those signs. What is the action that you talked about that needs to come after that?
So from where I said, like, decided rock bottom, how do I kind of pull out of that? Is that what you're kind of referring to?
Yeah. Or anybody similarly situated.
Mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned even the F word earlier, failure, because it is part of it. In that moment, in my rock bottom, I thought I just wasn't good enough, wasn't smart enough, I couldn't hang, right? Like I couldn't keep up with this. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. But in that moment, we have to decide failure's no longer an option. In this moment, I actually decided to learn from it. And that's what changed the trajectory of my entire life. Now, not that everyone has to go from burnout to coach, but we have to learn from that moment. And either without awareness, it either happens again, which I feel like would have happened if I didn't say, hey, I've got to change. So in that moment, I really took a pause to say, something's got to give. Let me figure out what that is and then move forward. So that's where I decided, no more failure. Let's decide this is learning to get back to winning.
you know, we have so many people that are on this podcast that we've had from everybody who's had that similar message. It strikes me the universality from everybody, somebody who's gone to jail for 12 years and been released from prison in one side, somebody like you on the other, you know, as a professional going through this, taking their pain and turning it in resiliency, going through it, if you will, and improving the lives of other people like this. Jail person is now a prison consultant and a healthcare manager, and he's got a beautiful wife and kids now. I think that's really amazing because not everybody has that. Some people can be so overwhelmed and so broken that they feel like there's no, what is it? It's darkest before the dawn. How do we talk to those people to let them know that I know people hate this term. I like it, that you don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. It may be difficult, it may be hard, but you got to find your way through.
I agree. And the thing that is the hardest is the person that's really subscribed to it is what it is, right? There's a resigned thing of like, this is just how my career is. This is how life is going to be. And that person is going to be hard, if not impossible, to help. Now, the person that is on the other camp of that is maybe they're thinking or even saying out loud, it is what it is, but they're hoping for something better. They want something better. And even though they can't see it today, they believe that it can be better, even in the moment when the circumstances seem pretty grim.
Wow, that we're going to end on this break on that note. I love that. I don't think I've heard anybody say that. The people who resign themselves are the hardest to change. Wow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
At the Bianchi Law Group, our team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys specialize in criminal defense and domestic violence cases. When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.
All right, welcome back to WMTR Radio's Nothing But the Truth. Wow, Dave, that's pretty amazing because it's so true. Maybe I've heard before people say, get angry at it. Don't settle. You know, say you're going to make a difference, even if you don't know what that is. And that really resonated with me, that if you are resigned to it, you may not be able to change it.
Yeah, no. And it hits home for me as well. I'm a Brendan Burchard guy. I listen to all of his stuff. And one of his sayings is go after it with action and optimism. Action and optimism, because we're all going to come to these adversities and challenges instead of the, you know, thinking and worrying, action, right? Optimism. And I've come to a place too. I want to hear your thoughts on this. You know, I gave a TEDx talk and I talked about my pre-COVID days. And that was a trial attorney. I was a lawyer. I was servicing my clients. And in addition to that, we were also doing a lot of television, going into the city and mornings and nights and courtrooms and clients and all of that. And I didn't realize about the overwhelm and burnout that I had endured until it all came to a screeching halt when the courthouse was shut down and we were in COVID. And I've come to the opinion that, look, the work, the time that goes into the professionalism and the careers is required. I mean, to get to where we want to go in our jobs, I think it's required. But I think the conversation needs to be, what do you do with the rest of the time? Because if it is filled with distractions and all of the temptation and social media and scrolling and things like that, I think it's a worthy conversation, especially for lawyers. And you see, I'm out there about attorney wellness. I mean, we have billable hours and mandatory billable hours in some firms and things like that. The work is required to a certain extent, but the rest of it needs to really be done with a focus on what it is that we're doing. Thoughts?
I love that. The one word that just kept ringing true and true, intentionality. It's so easy to just live by the latest email in your inbox, the most recent meeting coming up on your calendar. But what happens is then we're just taking action for action's sake, versus taking intentional action to win, to be less stressed, to enjoy the life that we have. So I love that you even pair this idea of action and optimism, because one thing that I teach when I work with my clients is this idea of a think, feel, act cycle. And when we can get really mindful of what we're thinking that creates the action versus just taking the action for action's sake, then it leads to the result that we're looking for, which you're talking about, of like, what do we do after we turn the computer off? Intentional action of whatever we want.
Yeah, no, I agreed. I think there's also two other ingredients. As you move through your life and you try to find the meaning of it and what can make, you know, meaning for you and others, is we have to recognize the fact there will be difficulties in any level of success. And I find that this is a big obstacle for people, because on the other hand, on the opposite side of this equation, are people that feel that they're entitled to be successful just because, okay? And it's a lot of hard work. And those times that I didn't feel like it was hard work, it was because I was passionate about what I did. So I like to talk about passion. I was passionate about what I did. And when I look back and reflect on my life, it wasn't that I was working less hours. In fact, I was working more hours. I was working harder, but I loved what it was that I did. So the difficulties, the problems, the issues were understood in the context of the passion and my curiosity to be better at what it was I was doing. So when those difficult times came in those job career parts, it was never a problem. Mine was the prisons were when I was doing something I was not passionate about and I wasn't curious about. And therefore the difficult things became exponentially worse.
And even what you just shared is the perfect example of that think, feel, act cycle. You're like, I love what I'm doing. So the thoughts that you have of like, I'm loving this, you're feeling curious instead of expected or pressured. And then what it yielded is like, you enjoyed it. You didn't mind working long hours. It worked for you. And you have that contra model of like, oh, when you were working in the other side of it, you're like, I wasn't enjoying this as much. It didn't feel as good. And so I love that I use this idea of like passion with curiosity. I think that is one of the factors that can make us so successful, because when we start to add entitlement or expectation, it's the quickest anchor to the bottom. Mm-hmm. So we need to be thinking about passion with that curiosity, but also it's really doing it, kind of like pulling in that intentionality. It's doing it with boundaries, because what I'll hear all the time, especially with solo and small firms, is like when you're wearing all the hats, how hard it can be to still juggle it all, because you're like, I love what I do, but like it still can burn us out. So I don't want somebody to hear this and be like, oh, well, if I'm not passionate, then I'm not doing a good job. We can recultivate that idea of passion that gives us that longevity to really work those hours that we need to and want to versus that expectation.
Dave, I just have a real quick question. Yeah, we just came back from Austin and
just about to bring this up.
They have these personality tests they were talking about. I forget what the name of them were. There were two of them in particular. And it's supposedly, if you take this test, it fits you into whether you're a leader or whether you're, and it's not meant to be denigrating to anybody. It's just what your personality type is like. Do you find any tools like that, one, to be accurate, or two, would you advise people? Like, I'm interested in taking it myself to see where I would score, because maybe I could have avoided a lot of pain if I realized, well, you know what? My personality doesn't fit in this culture.
And how hard that can be when we try to do that, right? There's that quote where it's like, okay, well, a fish that tries to climb a tree will never be successful because the fish is meant to swim in the pond, right? I've heard a lot of those types of personality quizzes. I think awareness is great. I think the more we know about ourselves, the better we can be and show up as leaders. A lot of us who are listening to this are likely in that role where we have a lot on our plates. And if we know that I'm more of the data-based person or the leader person or the visionary person, and maybe either my spouse is one of the opposite or the same, or the person I'm working with, a partner or a staff person, right? It can create a complementary service as opposed to we all have to be the same. And that's where it's like using the personality traits as strengths as opposed to thinking of it as weaknesses, which I know a lot of people can go to. I'm not a good enough leader. I'm not strong enough. I'm not fill in the blank.
You know what I was thinking too? We were in Austin, Texas with lawyers from all across the country. And they're like-minded. We're like-minded in a sense that we're all looking to improve services for our clients. And that is bringing in resources and growing to allow the service, right? And I think to a lot of our colleagues, Bob, that are out there, the solopreneurs, the attorneys that are doing it all, doing the marketing, doing the sales, doing all that. And you talked about that too. You talked about the person that is wearing all the hats. And I'd imagine that is a very difficult place to run a business and then leave the business and go home with the challenges and adversities in the home as well. So my thoughts on talking to that person, the person that's in the corporate, in the business structure, in a place where they're trying to do everything all at once, which is inevitably bringing stress.
And it's impossible, right? Everything all at once, we can't do that. You know, there's this saying that we can have it all, but not at the same time. So even if we think of it as like zooming out, we have our childhood, we have our adulthood, we have our older age. And if we spread health, wealth, and time over those three, as a kid, you have health and time, but you don't have wealth, presumably. In the middle of your career, you're building up your wealth and you have your health, but you have no time, right? That's us right now on this podcast. And then as we get older, we hopefully have health, we have time, but then we don't have our health anymore. So over our life, we had health, wealth, and time, but we have to understand that trying to do it all at once is actually a recipe for failure. We have to choose what it is that we want and need, prioritize that, and focus on the essential few versus the trivial many. And I think with Instagram and LinkedIn and all of these things, we think I have to be all of the things. And that's the quickest road to burnout.
Ooh, that's the quickest anchor to the bottom, as what you did. I'd love that saying, by the way. I wrote it down. I love that. And I want to talk about time a little bit, because you just categorized those three, you know, health, wealth, and time. And time, we do not know how much we have. The three of us right now, we hope to live long, prosperous lives. But the fact of the matter is we don't. Nobody knows, right, how long. And with that being said, I see it all of the time, that time being wasted on distraction and things that don't go to the priorities in a lot of people's lives. And I've come to the realization that I need to prioritize special things in my life, my faith, my relationships, my body, and my business. Those are my rails that I try to stay on all the time. But there is plenty of distraction out there coming from all angles from the universe. And I want you to talk a little bit about that conundrum of time and valuing time.
One of the things I talk about most, and probably how you found me, it's because I talk about this term called billable hour burnout. It's one of the things, right? In the profession, our time is precious, but then we also don't use our time. You know, we're trying to bill as many hours as we can, build as much revenue as we can, but then it's like at the cost of what? So there is, it's like a seesaw effect. And what we have to be thinking about is it's great to make money, but how much money until you're starting to sacrifice your life? If you talked about like your health, you know, clients will come to me all the time saying, I'm doing really well at work, but I'm not healthy anymore. I'm starting to fall apart. So we have to find time as this balance between what it is that we need to do and make sure we have enough time to do what we want to do and then do it well.
Wow. Great wisdom. I love everything you've had to say, Lauren. Unfortunately for us, the time is out. We'd love to have you come back. There's so many things we could have explored. So thank you so much. You're listening to WMTR Radio, it's nothing but the truth with Bob Bianchi, Dave Bruno. Lauren, where can people find you? And Dave, we can close the show out.
You can find me on all the places, Instagram, LinkedIn, at Lauren Baptiste. Instagram, it's the Lauren Baptiste. My website, acaloawellness.com. That might be the hardest to spell, but I got you. A-C-H-E-L-O-A. wellness.com. And a secret, if you type in laurenbaptiste.com, it'll take you to the same place. So there you go.
All right, Lauren. Awesome. And for you guys who are listening to this on the radio, we're going to have this podcast drop. Dave's going to tell you, but you got to see the podcast, because what you got behind you and your studio setup is very zen. It's
zen.
Making me feel very comfortable.
I was going to say the same thing. You can find us on nothingbutthetruthpodcast.com. Not only are we on the radio on WMTR Radio on Saturday mornings at 9:30, but we also drop the podcast and video on Spotify, iTunes, and in YouTube as a video series. And all of that could be found on nothingbutthetruthpodcast.com. Lauren, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much. So fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We're the Bianchi Law Group, a team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys.
But here's the thing. He put himself in a box when he said...
Relied on by CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Law and Crime, and news leaders across the country for our criminal defense expertise.
To get a search warrant, you have to have probable cause that a crime's been committed and there's evidence in a particular place.
When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.